We took a look at that 50. We're still above an expansion, but then again, there does seem some softness here. We look under the hood. Let's bring in, of course, Goldman Sachs. You know, their latest data, they're saying that, you know, it is a bit of a mixed picture. Let's bring in Chief China Economist Wei Shan joining us now. Your take on these numbers.
Thanks for having me. And over the weekend, we got these PMI numbers. I think it shows you a couple of things. One is that the Middle East conflict, oil prices, they are having a negative impact on manufacturing. MBS statement explicitly said in some of these energy processing and chemical fibers, their industry-level PMIs are lower. So we're seeing some of that. At the same time, I think the bigger picture, China's manufacturing still expanding, that hasn't changed that much. Because if you have that energy part of the story softening, but you're still getting the headline 50, that means the high-tech, the equipment making, that part of the economy is still doing pretty well.
AI exports, talk to us about that.
Yeah, we just put out a report. What's really interesting, you know, in this year's trade data for China is...
请关注公众号,思维纪要社,更多纪要请加V,CN2021-0130。
The very large increase in Chinese imports.
Yes.
It's about 25% year-on-year increase in Chinese imports. So what is really going on? We saw two drivers. One is gold. For some reason, Chinese gold imports increased significantly. That's harder to predict because it's lumpy and it is gold.
Is it PBOC, you think, you suspect?
No, PBOC purchases, that's from central bank. That's excluded from the customer's data. But the second is the semiconductors. So if you think about China's semiconductors, China is still very much reliant on foreign supply, right? Only 25% of the semiconductors used in China are self-made, whereas the rest is imported. So if you have a very large increase in semiconductor prices and quantity because of the AI boom, you are going to see more imports and that turns into deficit. But what we saw, we also don't want to over-exaggerate the impact of semiconductor imports on China's trade surplus, because a lot of these semiconductor imports are being placed in EVs and home appliances, all these products. So the deficit on the semiconductor front is going to be partially show up in the surplus in, say, EV home appliance exports.
So do you think this is something of a temporary surge, the import side of things, or something that could actually really impact the trade balance now?
Yeah, I think in terms of the semiconductor story, in the near term, it will be a downward pressure on China's trade surpluses. Okay. After all, it's similar to oil, right?
Yeah.
If you're importing more than you export, then your terms of trade will deteriorate when the price of that product increases.
Okay, what's the outlook then? Because the March export numbers, I keep going back to that because it really surprised a lot of people, right? Mm. What is your expectation now, given the data on imports from April? How does that look over the next 6 months in terms of exports then?
So trade data right now, they are...
Is it too noisy, is my question?
Is it too noisy?
Okay.
The first 4 months of the year, you got 3 months distorted by the Lunar New Year timing. So
okay.
I would look at it holistically. It's about 14-15% year-on-year up in the first 4 months of the year for Chinese exports. It's still quite decent, given what is happening. Now, at this point, what you want to watch is that whether, because the Strait of Hormuz is still closed, so whether that's going to translate into lower growth in Chinese trading partners, especially in the emerging markets, that could feed into softening in Chinese exports. But at the same time, we're also hearing from industry contacts that Christmas stocking up usually happens in August, September, but this year is being put forward just because the uncertainties and purchasers want to be prepared. So May, June, we could get a benefit from that changing in timing in terms of Christmas-related purchases.
Oh.
It seems to be all about tech story. I mean,
You
take a look at what's going on in Taiwan, what's going on in Korea as well. How do you see the non-tech side of things in China looking right now? Especially, still seems that the consumption side hasn't really seen any signs of really...
Especially the retail sales number for April.
Yeah.
barely increased in
April. And investment has also turned negative.
Yes.
Right? So
yeah, the domestic data, if anything, you know, if you look at the past few years, that seems to be the trend. Exports are really strong, but domestic was weak. I think the April data shows you that divergence is even more dramatic. I like to use the data on the, you know, auto domestic sales down 20% year on year, but exports up 70% year on year. So that gives you a example of how different domestic versus exports have been. But I wouldn't be too worried. On the retail sales, it's barely increased, 0.2% year on year. We knew that to some degree, right? Because we had that consumer goods trading program. Last May, we had home appliances sales up 50%, 50. So you will have a high base and retail sales will struggle given that high base. And on the investment front, yes, it has been weak. But we think of it as a sort of a active choice rather than something, a big negative shock happened. Because if you look at a bond issuance by the government, it has been super slow in April and May after a very strong first quarter. So our interpretation is that first quarter growth 5.0 at the upper end of the growth target. So therefore, policy deliberately slowed somewhat in the second quarter. For that reason, if they can slow it down, they can accelerate the bond issuance later on if needed. We're not too worried.
So how does the third quarter look if they deliberately took their foot off the gas in 2Q?
I think this is all reactive, right? If you ask what they're going to do, they're going to watch the Strait of Hormuz, the global market, export demand, and then calibrate what the appropriate responses should be.
Okay.
So I think this is, I mean, in some sense, it's not that surprising if they told you growth target 4.5 to 5. That's the range we're looking at.
Did we miss anything? What else do you think we should be talking about as we look into the second half of this year?
We are seeing the continued RMB appreciation. We talk about currency quite a bit on the show previously. What is really interesting, if you look at the interest rate differential, Chinese interest rate much lower than U.S. and other countries. But at the same time, RMB just continue to appreciate. We are getting a lot of questions from clients in terms of sustainability, how much it can appreciate. So we're forecasting, if we're sitting here this time next year, USD CNY goes to 650. So continued gradual appreciation is seems the most likely outcome.
Fantastic. Yeah. Thank you so much. Nice to see you. Hui Shan there, Chief China Economist at Goldman Sachs. Yeah, that's something to watch. I think the CFETS basket.